Didn't you almost feel like shouting? How great thou art! And we can't even fathom a part of it. How great God is. God is great and God is good. Well, this morning we come back to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 37 and 38. Jeremiah 37 and 38. And the question in the title of my message today is, do you fear God or man? And if you're honest, maybe your answer will be yes. Because we do tend to waver sometimes. These two chapters are prophecies during the time of the reign of Zedekiah, the last king of Judah before the final deportation to Babylon. It's many years after the last chapter. About 18 years later. Now Jerusalem is surrounded by the Babylonians. Jeremiah has been faithfully preaching year after year after year. They are coming and Jerusalem will be destroyed. And the sooner you understand and submit, this is God's will, the better it'll be for you. Jeremiah was a man who walked in the fear of God. Zedekiah, the king, was a man who walked in the fear of man. Today we're going to compare them a little bit and think about the idea, what's the difference? And who are we fearing? I'd like to read a little bit of this passage. I know I read the whole chapter of 36, but we have two chapters today, so I'll be reading portions here. Let me begin by reading, starting in verse 1 of chapter 37 of Jeremiah. It says, Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah, reigned instead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim. But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land listened to the words of the Lord that he spoke through Jeremiah the prophet. Okay, I just read verse 2, and now you know how big trouble they're in, right? They're in big trouble. Neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land listened to the words of the Lord that he spoke through Jeremiah the prophet. Verse 3. King Zedekiah sent Jehuchal, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah, the priest, the son of Maaseiah, to Jeremiah the prophet, saying, please pray for us to the Lord our God. Wow, what hypocrisy. Now Jeremiah was still going in and out among the people. He had not yet been put in prison. The army of Pharaoh had come out of Egypt, and when the Chaldeans who were besieging Jerusalem heard news about them, they withdrew from Jerusalem. Pharaoh and his army left. The arm of flesh is gone. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, thus shall you say to the king of Judah, who sent you to me to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army that came to help you is about to return to Egypt to its own land, and the Chaldeans shall come back and fight against this city. They shall capture it. They're going to burn it with fire. Thus says the Lord, do not deceive yourselves, saying, the Chaldeans will surely go away from us, for they will not go away. For even if you should defeat the whole army of the Chaldeans who are fighting against you, and there remained of them only wounded men, every man in his tent, they would rise up and burn this city with fire. This was not a popular message. Jeremiah, in the next verses, is thrown into prison. Later he's brought before the king, and then he's put on in the court of guard, and they're watching over him. then in chapter 38, they're after him again and want to put him to death, and instead he's put down into this cistern where he's in the muck and the mire, and then finally the king says, well, we better get him out of there, he'll die, because he's appealed to by some righteous people, and it took 30 men with rags and ropes to pull him out of that muck and mire to get him out of there, and wow. Then we come to verse 14 of chapter 38. The king sends for him again. King Zedekiah sent for Jeremiah the prophet, received him at the third entrance of the temple of the Lord. The king said to Jeremiah, I will ask you a question, hide nothing from me. Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, if I tell you, will you not surely put me to death? And if I give you counsel, you will not listen to me. Then King Zedekiah swore secretly to Jeremiah, as the Lord lives, who made our souls, I will not put you to death or deliver you into the hand of these men who seek your life. Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you will surrender to the officials of the king of Babylon, your life shall be spared, and the city shall not be burned with fire, and you and your house shall live. But if you do not surrender to the officials of the king of Babylon, then this city shall be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and you shall not escape from their hand. And King Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, listen to this, I'm afraid of the Judeans who have deserted to the Chaldeans, lest I be handed over to them and they deal cruelly with me. He had the fear of man. Verse 20, Jeremiah responds, and Jeremiah said, you shall not be given to them. Obey now the voice of the Lord. In other words, fear God instead of man. In what I say to you, it'll be well with you. Your life will be spared. But if you refuse to surrender, this is the vision which the Lord has shown to me. Behold, all the women left in the house of the king of Judah were being led out to the officials of the king of Babylon and were saying, your trusted friends have deceived you and prevailed against you. Now that your feet are sunk in the mud, they turn away from you. Whoa. The king feared people. Jeremiah was a man who feared the Lord. Here's the question for us today. This is in the middle of dire circumstances. I mean, the city is surrounded by the Chaldeans. Things are not looking good. How do you respond in dire circumstances? Do you continue to walk in the fear of God? Or are you afraid of man and circumstances and what's going to happen to you instead? Jeremiah was God's true prophet. He trusted in the Lord. King Zedekiah disobeyed the Lord. He feared man and he suffered the consequences. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. Part of what Jesus shared in what we read this morning is repeated over in Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, where it says, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that, have nothing more they can do. But I'll warn you whom to fear. Fear him who after he has killed you has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Our first point this morning is, who is walking in the fear of man? Well, Zedekiah was. King Zedekiah said, I'm afraid of the Judeans. They'll kill me if I go out and give myself over. Which is exactly the opposite of what God told him through Jeremiah. But you know, even the godly, even each one of us at times, struggle with the fear of man. and what might happen to us.
Job was a righteous man in all his ways, who feared God and eschewed evil, it says. And yet he was afraid. He was afraid that someone would come and steal everything he had. He was afraid that his children might somehow be killed by God. And it all happened. And in Job chapter 3, verses 25 and 26, Job said, "For the thing that I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me. I'm not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, but trouble comes." Beware of what you were afraid of. It may just come upon you. Oh, who's the father of the faith? Abraham. Surely Abraham never walked in the fear of man. Oh, but what happened? Back when he was still called Abram, back in Genesis chapter 12, this is the first chapter where God is dealing with him. And in verses 12 and 13, there's a famine in the land. He went to Egypt, 10 and 11. He said to Sarah, his wife, "I know you're a woman beautiful in appearance." Verse 12, "And when the Egyptians see you, they'll say, 'This is his wife.' They'll kill me, but they will let you live. So you're to say, 'You're my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and my life may be spared.'" Why do you say that? Because he was afraid. He was afraid. You turn over to chapter 20 and verse 2. Well, starting in verse 1. "From there Abraham journeyed toward the territory of the Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur, and he sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, 'She is my sister.' And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah." And then God appeared to Abimelech and said, "Oh, you've done a bad thing. You better not touch that man's wife." "Oh, it's his wife. He said it was his sister. Let's have a confrontation here." So down to verse 8. "So Abimelech rose early in the morning, called his servants, told them all these things, and the men were very much afraid. And Abimelech called Abraham and said, 'What have you done to us? How have I sinned against you? You brought on me and my kingdom a great sin. You've done to me things that ought not to be done.' Abimelech said to Abraham, 'What did you see that you did this thing?' Abraham said, 'I did it because I thought there is no fear of God at all in this place, and they'll kill me because of my wife.'" He was afraid. He was afraid of man. He became a great man of God. He feared God, but he had times when he feared man. His son Isaac did the same thing. And for the same reason, because of the fear of man. That's in Genesis 26, if you want to look it up later. And then Jacob. Jacob feared Laban. And after serving him all those years, what did he do? He snuck away when Laban wasn't looking, and took his wives and his children and all his possessions, and he fled. And Laban came after him and caught up with him. And he said, "Why did you do this?" And Jacob said, "I was afraid you'd take your daughters back." Fear of man. You know, what if Jacob had been a man? And he said, "Laban, I've served you all these years. I've been faithful. Now it's time. I have to go back to my father's house. If you want to have a celebration first, fine, we'll have a celebration. But I'm taking my wives and my family, and we're going to be leaving. Okay? You can say goodbye to them and everything. Everything goes good. Good. Okay." What happened because he snuck away? Well, because he snuck away, one of his wives snuck into her father's tent and stole the household idols and took them along on the trip. And when Laban came, he made accusations, said, "One of you stole my household idols." And Jacob said, "Cursed be the one who did it. They'll be put to death." And guess what happened? It wasn't long after Rachel was giving birth and she died. Things could have been different. You never know. But he walked in the fear of man at that point. He learned to walk in the fear of God. But you know, when we walk in the fear of man, good things do not happen. King Saul was another. When he was confronted about Samuel, about his lack of fulfilling all that God told him to do, what did he say? He said, I feared the people. I was afraid to take a stand and do exactly what you told me because I was afraid of the people, what they would say. That's walking in the fear of man. When Goliath came and challenged, what does it say? It said that Saul and all the people were in fear. But there was one who was not afraid. That was David. He walked totally in the fear of God at that time and went out and conquered the giant. But even such a great a man as Elijah, the man of God, who on Mount Carmel mocked all the false prophets and even put them all to death, the next day when he heard Jezebel was after him, he fled for his life, afraid of a woman. You go back and you look, and there wasn't a whole lot of ministry left for Elijah after that. He was basically training up Elijah after that. God's blessing was still upon him. I mean, look how he was taken to heaven. But there was this one great fear of a woman. Why did Pilate turn Jesus over to be crucified? It says he was afraid of the people. Why did Peter deny his Lord 3 times? Because he was afraid of a servant girl and standing up for Christ. Walking in the fear of man is walking cowardly. Revelation 21:8 says, among other things, but as for the cowardly, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. We as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, of all people, are not to be walking in the fear of man. Therefore, what do we need to do? Confess our sin. If God has brought into your mind some situation where, you know, I've walked in the fear of man, you need to confess it. You weren't walking in the fear of God. It's easy. We all do it at times. We have to confess that. One of the reasons we do it is because we tend to be, people pleasers. We don't want someone to think badly of us or say something against us. And so we're afraid of their responses, and we don't always stand up for God the way we should and do what is right. We need to confess our sin before God. And then we need to walk in the fear of God. What is the fear of God then? That's our second thought. What is the fear of God? Well, in Sunday school this morning, as we were considering what R.C. Sproul had to say about Martin Luther was terrorized by thinking about the wrath of God that was coming upon sinners. Well, that certainly is part of the fear of God. I mean, who would not fear the wrath of God? It's an awesome thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Our God is a consuming fire. If you are outside of Christ, you ought to be terrified. But if you're in Christ, you should not be terrified. But you should be walking in a reverent fear and awe of God. The fear of the Lord for the Christian is that reverential awe. It's having a deep respect and reverence and awe for God's power and authority. One put it this way, said, the fear of God, walking in the fear of God, is having a continual awareness that you're in God's presence. And he's watching you. He's a holy, just, and mighty God, and he's looking at you, and he sees every single thought that you have. He hears every word you say. He knows every action you're going to do. And he's judging all of them. And he's trying to speak to your heart about them. In Proverbs chapter 8, where wisdom is personified, it's really God speaking forth. God, it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. That's sort of seeing the fear of the Lord in practice. If you really fear the Lord, you're going to hate evil. And it goes on to define that. It says, to hate pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted speech. I mean, it's learning to hate what God hates if we're going to walk in the fear of God. In Ecclesiastes 12:13, it says, fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. You fear God and you keep his commandments. That was the Old Testament. We know that perfect love casts out fear. We still keep his commandments. But we walk in the fear of God. Psalm 19:9 says that the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. It's clean. It's pure. The object of the fear of the Lord is to purge away defilement out of our lives. And we know God is watching us, and the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good, it says. And we're going to respond by wanting to have a right attitude, a right response to God in our lives. Psalm 34:11, David said, come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Well, from that you learn that the fear of the Lord is to be taught. And parents are to teach it to their children by precept and by example. Do your children see you walking in the fear of the Lord? Do your children hear you reminding them that God is watching over you? You know, we teach it even to the youngest ones in our songs, right? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. And why? Because the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful what you're doing. Okay? You know the chorus. You can sing it to yourself. Right? That's the main points of it. But Scripture says there are those people who do not choose to fear the Lord. And God has a very strong warning for them. It's in the book of Proverbs in the very first chapter. Proverbs chapter 1. If you'd like to follow along there, I'm going to read a little bit of it. Starting in verse 23, God says, if you turn at my reproof, behold, I'll pour out my spirit to you. I'll make my words known to you. Because I've called you and you refuse to listen, you have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you've ignored all my counsel, you would have none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Wow. The time comes when you've rejected God too much. He says, you cry out to me now, it's too late. Proverbs 1:7 in the same chapter earlier said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. In Job 28:28, again in Psalm 111, verse 10, and in Proverbs 9, verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
So it's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of your life as a Christian to walk in the fear of God, in holy reverence and awe to this wonderful God who's given you His Savior to save you, His Lord to lead and guide you in His life, His Holy Spirit to live within you. Oh, why would you not walk with Him, trusting in Him always? Wouldn't it be great to say with the psalmist in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Well, if you don't get anything else out of this sermon this morning, take that verse with you, will you? And just keep repeating it to yourself over and over again. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then should I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. In whom should I be afraid? But remember, it's only true if you're a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist also said in Psalm 56, "When I am afraid, I will trust in you." Yes, fear is a natural response. Fear does come up, but you don't have to stay there. Turn it into trust. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. I told you over and over again that fear is the dark room where Satan takes you to develop your negatives. Okay? Don't let him. Don't let him. Think on the right things. Men, if you want a whole chapter, Psalm 112, "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord." And you read through that and you see what blessings come to the man who fears the Lord. In Proverbs 2:5, "In understanding the fear of the Lord, you find the knowledge of God." According to Proverbs 10:27, by the fear of the Lord, your life will be prolonged. In Proverbs 14:26, "By the fear of the Lord, you are given strong confidence, and your children are provided a refuge." Proverbs 14:27, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to help you to depart from the snares of death." And Proverbs 16:6 says, "By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." In fact, I think there's one translation that says, "Only by the fear of the Lord do men depart from evil." And Proverbs 22:4 promises that along with humility and the fear of the Lord, you will have riches, honor, and life. Well, what do you want? The snares of death? Or humble yourself before God and walk in His presence and receive from His hand all the blessings that He will give you. Now you might be wondering, is this just an Old Testament command? Does it ever talk about the fear of God? Yeah, well, Jesus did, remember? And then in 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king." So yes, we are to fear God, all of us, even as believers. It's a privilege, it's a blessing. It's living in His presence, in which, what does it say in Psalm 16? There's fullness of joy. You're not experiencing this? You know why now? This is it. Walk in the fear of God. Walk in holy reverence and awe of God. God Almighty. This is really really what the life of George Mueller was all about. He was just so in tune to the presence of God that he was able just to trust God for everything. I won't continue the story, but you know it all. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. That's the man who walks by faith and not by sight. And that's our topic for tonight. So we'll save that for tonight. Let's bow together in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word to us today. We don't even know the greatness of who you are. You are such a great and wonderful and mighty God. And Jesus Christ is so awesome, and he's coming back soon to reign and rule on this earth. Oh, why are we afraid of man? Help us to walk in the holy reverence of your presence. Oh, great God, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.